we just thank you. Let's just thank him today. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do during this time of delivering the word. Pray you'll anoint me, your servant, anoint my ears to hear, my eyes to see, my heart to receive. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. It's good to be back today in our home church. I did bring some sermon notes. Let's see how many I have here. Well, let's see. I don't know, maybe 14 or 15 pages of sermon notes. When David went to fight the giant, how many stones did he take? How many did he use? Okay, enough said. I want to read a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, something that God has put in my spirit that I want to share. Always enjoy ministering at Austin Cathedral. 1 Corinthians 15. While you're turning there, I just want to say that Gene and I are so very, very thankful to have a church that we can be a part of. I know of so many ministries today that they don't have a church. They don't have a pastor. A lot of these men and women you see on TV, Christian television, a lot of them, they don't have a pastor. They don't have a church. I'm thankful that Gene and I have a church family, a church home, and thankful that Gene and I have a pastor, pastors, because I call Bill and Sue Hart pastors. Thankful to have this couple in our lives. You know, we have been coming to minister here since 1986. Was anybody here in 86 when we started coming? We got a few here. Jack, he was here, and Donna was here, and some others were here. Some more of you guys were here in 1986. We wasn't in this location, by the way. But, you know, the first time we came, I was ministering at a conference in Rockwall, Texas. And Pastor Bill Hart came and introduced himself and said, would you come to Austin? And I said, well, when I get an opening, I'll come. And so we came. And the Holy Spirit just connected us to Bill and Sue Hart. I believe in divine appointments and divine connections. I believe there are certain people that we are to be connected with, sometimes seasonal, sometimes for a lifetime. So we just felt a strong connection to Pastor Bill and Sue Hart, and he invited us back. And we have been coming now for a long time. What is that, 32 years? Is that correct? 32 years. I must have been 18 years old when I started coming. We like to honor connections. But when Gene and I moved here, you know, we could live anywhere because we were traveling at the time. But we wanted to live near our kids and grandkids. And so when we came to Austin, we knew right away, before we ever got here, that this would be our church. And pastor and elders laid hands on us. That was in 24, that was 5 years ago. 2013 must have been. 4 years ago. 5 years ago. Close enough. And we got planted here. You know, the Bible said that those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. Where are the courts? That is their home, their business, their school, their whatever it may be. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, you're going to flourish. So the moment you get planted in a church, the devil, he tries to get you unplanted because he does not like that. He likes for Christians to be on the go, moving here, there, their favorite place, a new place, whatever it may be. But there's something that is so powerful when you get planted in a local church. Blessed are those who are planted in the house of the Lord. They're going to flourish in their life. So Gene and I got planted here, and we plan on being here the rest of our lives. When I die and go to heaven, then they can just put me right here. And I want y'all to come by. I've already requested, this is kind of, well, what would you say? Morbid? It's kind of morbid. But y'all come by and cry over me if you will. And wail. Cry loud, wail, carry on. Some of you are not smiling. Have a party. Gene says when I go, you're going to put my computer, my iPhone, my iPad, everything in the coffin with me, and my microphone. So please don't take any of those things as you pass by. So I'll be, I'll just finish up right here. And maybe the church will be crowded. Maybe it won't be. Anyhow, it'll all be good. Pastor Bill Hardy will stand and two or three other guys. So, but I'm planted here. And I need, everybody needs a pastor. I'm thankful that Gene and I have a pastor and his wife. You know what? If we get sick, what they're going to do, they're going to be there for us. If we have an emergency in our family, or if there's some type of tragedy or whatever it may be, they're going to be here for us. If there's a celebration time in our life, they're going to be there. So many people have a church leader, but they don't have a pastor. You know, it's easy to be, I've watched, being in full-time ministry 51 years, I've watched a lot of changes happening in the church the past 51 years. And now we have this new thing in the church. We don't call them pastors now. We call them church leaders. You know, I don't need just somebody to be a church leader. A lot of people can lead, but I need a pastor. I need someone to care for my soul. David said, no one cares for my soul. He didn't have really a pastor. So a pastor is a shepherd that watches over their sheep. I know that Bill and Sue Hart watch over their sheep. And I need that. I don't need just a church leader. You know, I'm a little bit concerned about the church today. I'm excited about what God is doing in the church, but I'm a little bit concerned about the local church. I see so many things happening that trouble me in some ways. Can I just talk just a moment before I start preaching? I'm just talking now. But I'm concerned about some things. You know, I begin to prophesy. I've been a prophetic voice now for a number of years, since 1985, to churches across America and around the world. I began to prophesy several years ago that a major change was coming to the church, where churches would begin to franchise. Like McDonald's. I can remember before McDonald's got here that we had local mom and pop restaurants. Some of you are probably not old enough to know about that. Some of you going to restaurants, going to a restroom, you'll see these old pictures about, you know, when businesses first started, when it was a mom and pop business. And then what happened, McDonald's began to come along and Burger King, and we began to have franchises. Consequently, the small mom-and-pop restaurants began to fade away, where you did not see them anymore. And I began to prophesy years ago that's what's going to happen to the local church, that the local church thing was going to change, because a lot of major churches and major ministries and major well-known maybe preachers, parachurch ministries, would go to other cities, other places, and they would begin to do exactly what they were doing. And they would send people into a city with a ready-made church, and a pastor or a leader would come, and they would have the finances to start the work. And actually, it began to happen. And I know of ministries across America that they just send someone to lead a congregation of people that is really having, I believe, detrimental consequences in America, trying to replace a local church where there's a local pastor who, like Bill Hart, came in 1984, I believe, Bill and Sue Hart, and they dug the church out of the ground, sacrificed, had meager living to begin with, but stayed. You know, when I drove up today, and it said Austin Cathedral since 1984, when I saw it not since 1984, that told me something, that there was a pastor and his wife that came here and have been here since 1984, have a proven track record. You know how many churches come and go? You know, the average tenure, is it all right if I just talk a little bit? The average tenure of a pastor in America is 2.5 years. When you have a man that's been here and his wife has been here for 34 years, that tells me something. That tells me there's been a man and his wife that have been through floods and storms and tornadoes and fires and loneliness and sleepless nights and endured sickness and disease and misunderstandings and persecution in order to give oversight to a local church, a local congregation. You know what? That says something to me. And as a man that's been in full-time ministry for 51 years, I need that type of person. I don't need just to attend a church where there may be something new happening or maybe some type of events going on. I need a church family. I need an extended family like yourself. And someone, a pastor that knows my name. You know, I've been to churches where, and I visited a church where the pastor didn't know my name, and I asked other people, does the pastor know who you are? No, they just come and go. They get on the platform and they leave the platform, and we see them from afar, but they don't really know who we are. And if we do have a problem or a need, they'll send somebody they call on their staff that says, well, I've came in on behalf of my pastor. Okay. Anyhow, I'm glad I said that. I'm glad that I said that. We need, every one of us need a pastor. We don't need just a church leader. We need a pastor. Someone that cares for our soul. We need a church where if we get in trouble, we've got people that rally to our help. And all of us in life, one time or another, we're going to need somebody to help us, to care for us, to share what they have maybe with us. So I'm thankful for you, Pastor Bill Hart, and you, Sue Hart. I'm thankful. I know y'all, and I'm grateful. Gene and I are grateful to have you in our lives. Okay, I want us to read now. I'm glad I said that. That's pretty good, Dale Gentry. Very good. 1 Corinthians 15, page number one, verse 45, I believe it is. I'm going to preach a little bit, and then we're going to pray. Is that a good combination? Okay, here's what Paul said, beginning with verse 44. I'm just reading verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, talking about our bodies. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a supernatural body. There is a natural body, and there is a supernatural body. Verse 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. So what did he say? There's a natural, and there's a spiritual. There is a practical, and there is a spiritual. There is a spiritual, there is a natural, and then there is a supernatural. There is a practical and a spirit. What did he say? The natural comes first. Now, that would be, that's kind of difficult for us Holy Ghost people to discern that the natural could come before the spiritual. Because how many knows that we love the spiritual? How many knows that Dale Gentry loves the spiritual? How many knows he loves the Holy Ghost? How many knows that he wants to work with the Holy Ghost? But I did not start, first of all, working in the supernatural. Although it may be that I may appear to be somewhat spiritual, I did not start out that way. I started out in the natural. And when I was in my mother's womb, God gave me gifts. And those gifts were passed down from my mother, my father, my grandmother, my grandfather, my great-grandmother, my great-grandfather, and on down from generations past. They were passed down to me, and I did not do anything to deserve those gifts. Not one thing. When I came out of my mother's womb, I did not come out in a spiritual form. I came out wailing and crying and screaming. I was not spiritual at all. But when I came out with some gifts. And those gifts did not have to be anointed. They were natural. You know, I watch other programs besides Daystar and the Trinity Broadcasting Company. I like to watch Dan Rather and The Big Interview. Anybody ever watch The Big Interview? Oh, my goodness. You're more spiritual than I thought you were. So Dan Rather, he's got this big interview, and he interviews different people and has them to tell their story. So I watched him the other day, and he was interviewing this guy that is the leader of Rush. His name is Geddy Lee. Any Geddy Lee fans? Eric, he's a Geddy Lee fan. We got another one back here. And some of you probably don't even know who Geddy Lee is. But he's the leader of this band called Rush. And they have actually sold 40 million albums, so they're pretty well known. But he tells the story. He's not a spiritual man at all. But tells the story about how his father was a musician and a singer, and his grandfather. So Geddy Lee did not come out of his mother's womb and just pick up these gifts and talents. Every one of you here under the sound of my voice today, you have gifts and talents and abilities that came from God, and you did nothing to deserve them. And you don't have to be anointed to use them. Oh, my goodness. Geddy Lee, not anointed, but he sold 40 million albums, Rush, he and Rush. I'm not talking about Rush Limbaugh. I'm talking about Rush. So what happens is he came out with a DNA of his father, of his parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, these things being passed down from one generation to another, because God is a generational God. So we come out with these gifts. And whether you're an atheist or a Muslim, or you're a Hindu, or you're a Christian, doesn't make any difference. You just have those gifts. And you don't have to, you don't always have to be anointed to use some of those gifts that came out of you naturally. Buck Owens. So you know Buck Owens. Anybody know Buck Owens? All you got to do is act naturally. Darren could eat his heart out now. I can. So we come out, first of all, we come out. Are you following me this morning? Am I making any sense? I don't think I've ever preached this sermon in my life. But we come out, first of all, with the natural. Bill Hart is a great golfer. I can't play golf. I used to try and almost killed two preachers when I was trying. Hitting the ball, I quit that. I don't enjoy that. I don't like anything I can't compete in because I'm a competitor. But Bill, he doesn't have to say, now I'm really anointed to play golf. No, he just goes and plays golf. Eric, I know he gets under the anointing when he plays the keyboard. I love his keyboard. But really, he doesn't have to be anointed to play the keyboard. He just go up there and start playing. There are certain things that I do, I have no anointing to do. I mean, I interview people. I love to interview people. On bpnradio.com, I've got hundreds of interviews that I've done because I like to hear people's story, and I like to hold the microphone and say, tell me your story. But I don't have to be anointed to do that. So before I became a preacher, I was a disc jockey, a radio announcer, sportscaster. And it kept, my gift came from my grandfather, Jim Gentry. He owned a telephone company, and he would contact all of the people that owned it, that were part of his telephone company. He would announce the news every evening, and they even wrote about him in Time magazine or somewhere. So he would announce the news. So from my grandfather, Jim Gentry, I got my gift, the voice of being a radio voice. And so you either got the radio voice, you don't have the radio voice. It's just a gift. And I can use it to preach, and the anointing comes, but I can use it to be a disc jockey. Ladies and gentlemen, this is KPPP. Here's the number 3 song on the top 40 chart. That's Domino. I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. Here's Fats, ladies and gentlemen. 11 minutes after 11 o'clock here on 11:20 a.m. radio. You know, it doesn't take any anointing. But what happens to us so many times is we live in that dimension of thinking that everything we do has to be spiritual. But everything is not spiritual. And we can get to a place where we live in a domain that if we're not spiritual, we're not profitable, or we're not doing enough. And the devil always wants to get you to buy into the fear of not doing enough or being enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not witnessing enough. I'm not going soul winning enough. I'm not giving enough. And so pretty soon our whole lives is, well, I'm just not enough. And that can cause us to live an unbalanced life, where we don't enjoy watching Perry Mason or Hawaii 5-0 or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You understand what I'm saying? And we pay the consequences by not realizing that there are natural gifts in life that we need to enjoy. And that we need to know that to everything there is a season. I was reading recently about Noah. Anybody ever read about Noah? And what do you think about when you think about Noah? Huh? The ark? What about farming? Huh? I read today where Noah was, when he got through building the ark, he went back to farming. I mean, Peter, he was a fisherman. There was a time he went back to fishing. Paul was a tent maker. There was a time that he went back to making tents. How about Jesus spending, how many years he spent as a carpenter? 10 years, 12 years. How many years was he a preacher? 3.5 years. So what happens to us if we're not careful? We will miss the simplicities of life. And realize there are some things that we need the anointing. When I preach, I need the anointing. When I prophesy, I need the anointing. But when I give an interview or do an interview on the radio, I need no anointing. We don't have to be anointed to do everything. David, he kept sheep. Moses, how long was he a shepherd? For 40 years. Abraham, he was a livestock guy. So we got to realize that there is a spiritual aspect. We come here, we love to get under the anointing. We love to worship God. We love to honor Him and praise Him. But we don't carry that out everywhere. It doesn't mean that we go out and we sin and we live a careless life all the time. But there is a natural. There is a natural part of our lives that we need no anointing, and it may not even appear to be very spiritual. BPNradio.com is a 24-hour prayer station, but sometimes I'll play secular music because I heard a long time ago there's only 2 types of music, good music and bad music. And I've heard of some Christian songs that were not scriptural, like Build Me a Castle, a cabin in the corner of glory land. That's not scriptural. We're not going to have any cabins when we get to heaven. We're going to have mansions. We'll have castles. And then there's other songs, secular songs, that are good. I play them on BPN radio. You know, I played one the other day. I don't know if there's a CD out about it, but the Eagles sang "There's a Hole in the World Tonight." It's a good song. It's not a Christian song, but it's a good song. They wrote it after 9/11. Here a while back, I played George Jones, "Choices." Any George Jones fans here? Oh, we got one here, too. I know Pastor is not a George Jones fan because I used to come here years ago, and we'd sit out in front of this church, and we'd listen to Willie Nelson music before I came in to preach. So I know he's not a George Jones fan, but I'm sure he's a Willie Nelson fan. Come on now. There is a natural and there's a supernatural. And I played the George Jones song because he talks about choices. Choices that we have to live by. It's a good song. It takes no anointing to play a George Jones song. There is a natural part of your life. There's a supernatural. The natural came first. I came out of my mother's wombs with giftings. Then I accepted Jesus as a boy, and I learned how to operate in the realm of the Holy Ghost. But there's some, and work in the anointing. But some things I don't have to be anointed, and everything that I do in life may not have to be spiritual. I may work a job. I may be farming. I don't have a gift to farm. But some people have a gift to be a farmer. Why can't they enjoy that? Their father may have been an attorney. And he might like, but they might have no gifting to be an attorney. And so many people are doing something in life. They have no gift for it. There's no talent. There's no ability. I'm not talking about anointing now. I'm just talking about in the natural sense. They don't enjoy it. They hate going to work every morning because they're not getting to exercise their gift. And some people, they have a gift to sing, and other people are just wannabes. Please listen to my son sing this song. Oh, God, that's only a song that a mother could love. That's only a voice a mother could love. It's evident it's not their gift. I had a people, I was in Omaha, Nebraska, and a woman, I was having a long prayer line, and I prayed for her, and about an hour later, she came back, and I said, "What are you doing in line again?" She said, "Because I want your gift." "No, you got to get your own gift." I didn't tell her that. I just prayed for it. But every one of you under the sound of my voice today, listen to me. There is a spiritual part of your body and there's a natural part of your body, and you need to determine what is in the realm of the spirit, what's in the realm of the natural. And whatever's in the realm of the natural, you've got to enjoy where you're at. There's some women that are praying for a godly husband, and I'm agreeing with them, but they feel like I'll never be happy, I'll never be content until I find a husband. And then they find a husband, and, I won't go there. Because marriage can be the nearest thing to heaven, but it can be the closest thing to hell. So what you got to understand, even though God, let me say this. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 8, there's a passage of scripture, Genesis 8:32, here's what it said. As long as there's day and night, cold and winter, summer and heat and cold, there's going to be three things that happen. Seed, time, and harvest. Now, I want us to say that real slow. Seed, time, harvest. The seed is the dream, the vision, the promise, the anticipation, the prophecy. Most people love to come to services I lead because sometimes they get a prophecy, and that is foretelling something that God is going to do in their life. Then you have seed, then you have time, then you have harvest. But in between, the harvest is the fulfillment of the promise. The harvest is the fulfillment of the prophecy. The harvest is the culmination of the dreams. But then there is that in between the seed and the harvest. What's that called? Time. And most people refer to it as mean time. That's exactly what it is. If we allow it to be that. Meantime. And we get caught between the promise, the dream, the prophecy, the anticipation, and the fulfillment of that. Get caught in meantime. And that's called the natural time. What are we going to do in the meantime? Are we just going to cry ourselves to sleep at night? Are we going to have all this depression and anxiety because life is not working out the way that we thought it should work out? Or are we going to take that meantime to continue to do whatever we have in our DNA? That is our gifts, our talents, and our abilities that come from God. Whether we are Christian or non-Christian, whether a believer or an unbeliever, we all have gifts and talents and abilities. Every one of us. And the key in life really, truly, is not really all about a promise or a prophecy or the fulfillment of that. It's what we're going to do in the meantime. What are we going to do to occupy while we are here on this earth? I mean, David, he was 18 years old, and Samuel came and anointed him with oil. You're going to be the king. But how long was he in waiting? 20 years. What? So did David sit around playing on his harp for 20 years saying, I'm going to be the king, I'm going to be the king, I can't be happy till I'm going to be the king, things aren't going to work out if I'm not the king, if it doesn't happen to pass? No. What did he do? He went to war. He served. He occupied. He encouraged those guys in the cave. He went about life, not just waiting. See, there's some people, they're in waiting all of their lives. What are you doing? Well, I'm waiting. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for this prophecy that I got in 1973. The fulfillment of that. What about the meantime? What are you going to do with your life in the meantime? Moses said to the angel of the Lord, which I believe was Jesus, who am I? That's a good question. Who am I? And what was the response? Anybody remember? What was the response? What is that in your hand? What was it? A staff, a rod. In other words, I'm going to tell you something to do, but you keep that rod in your hand. And that was a gift from God. He was a shepherd. He was shepherding for 40 years behind the scenes. He was in waiting, but while he was waiting, he was serving his father-in-law. Did he throw away the rod? No. When I was a disc jockey, when God called me to preach, I didn't throw away the microphone. I just changed my subject a little bit. Being a country disc jockey, I went to preaching the gospel. But I still had it. I still had the microphone in my hand. And he still had the rod in his hand. Sometimes we feel like, well, we're saved, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and now everything's going to change. Whatever we do in the past, not going to do any of that anymore, and all of that is... No. I'm not talking about something in your hand that is ungodly, that's detrimental or destructive. I'm talking about something that God put in your hand, a gift, a talent, ability in your DNA. and you love it. It's fulfilling in your life. And so many people, they find the spiritual aspect of their life, but they never discover the natural. There's a natural part of your life that you must not ignore. So a lot of people just spend their whole life waiting. I'm waiting till I can pay my house off. I'm waiting until I retire. I'm waiting until my 401k matures. I'm waiting. It's all in waiting. While in the meantime, they could become very fruitful. In the meantime, they could be doing something that is advantageous to society even. That there may not even be any anointing on that, but it's a gift, a talent, ability that they're using in order to fulfill their purpose in life and to prepare them for future assignments. How am I doing? I need some affirmation right now. Well, hallelujah. 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 Got all my notes, but I'll save them for another time. There's two parts of you. There's the supernatural, the spiritual, the anointing, and then there's the natural. A lot of my prophetic ministry over the past many years have been just identifying gifts in people's lives. I just look at them and I say, you know, I see a special gift in you. And we all have them, a special gift. And sometimes we don't even know what makes us tick because we've lived so long watching other people do certain things and comparing ourselves with what they're doing or trying to live up to the expectations of what our parents wanted us to do, our grandparents want us to do, or other people that we think are successful, if we could do it like them, that somehow we lose our true identity of who we are. We are the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us. Finding who we are is very, very important. Not just in the realm of the supernatural, but in the realm of the natural. There is a natural, that's what Paul said, and there's the supernatural. Hallelujah. 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 I think we ought to pray a while. Why don't we just stand and pray a while? Let's pray about this. Y'all come on down. Let's pray together. Come on down. Y'all can move the podium somewhere. Let's pray together. Come on. Everybody come on down. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just get real close to me here. We're going to pray. Come on. Come on. Everybody move up as close as you can. Just face me. I want us to pray together. Hallelujah. 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 Y'all look at me now. You got to know that you're just a little space in time, right? You could have been born any time in history past, any time in history future. But God designated, listen to me now. You're not here by accident. You say, oh, I was born an illegitimate baby. God already saw that. There's no accidents. You came here at this appointed time in history. There'll come a day they'll say, Dale who? Because I'll come and go, and you will too. But while we are here on this earth, we're not going to be cheated out of a life that we could live, that would be fulfilling to Him and fulfilling to us. In the book of Acts chapter 15, it talks about three men of God, Paul and Barnabas, Simon, going on a journey. And the Bible said it seemed good to them and the Holy Ghost. And then it said it seemed good to them. And then they said, we're going to leave. But Simon said, no, it seems good to me to stay here. And so every one of you are not going to always, God's not going to always make the decision for you. Sometimes it will seem good to the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it will seem good to you and the Holy Ghost. So, but sometimes it just seems good to you. You say, I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know that this is a fulfillment of my life. And I don't have to fast and pray about being a farmer. Or am I getting across? Am I saying anything that is resonating in your spirit? Some of you are struggling today about life, and you don't need to be struggling. Some people spend all their years going to college. They don't even know what they're getting a degree for. If you're going to be a doctor, you better go to college. If you're going to be a school teacher, you better go to college. But some people, you know, guys I like to listen to on the radio, most of those guys have only had one or two semesters of college. I had a friend who was a lieutenant governor of the state of Oklahoma for 8 years, and he never went to college at all. So maybe college is good for some people, if that's what your degree requires. But if not, why do you spend all of that money and all that time? Because a lot of people think, well, I didn't finish college, or maybe I didn't even finish high school. Surely I can't do anything. And my response is, who told you that? Who told you that? Geddy Lee said, I sold 40 million copies. I never even went to college. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from going to college. I'm just saying we need a purpose in life. We need to know what is fulfilling, what's required of us to do that. Hallelujah. There is a supernatural. We understand that. But I'm trying to bring to your remembrance today what the Holy Ghost is wanting me to say to you. The natural comes first. But put your hand on your head. I'm going to pray a prayer of release over you now. In Jesus' name. I speak that word of release over you. A release of the natural. Not just a realm, not just a release of the supernatural, but a release of the natural. Some of you have never discovered it yet. You still don't know who you are. But you are something right now, whether you're 10 years old or 14 years old or 87 years old, you are something now. And you are a product of what God put in your heart, even from your mother's womb. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I break off all self-hate and self-criticism. Don't be criticizing yourself. Somebody will do that for you. Hallelujah. I'm here now. I'm here now. This is 2018, and I'm here now. I'm a product of now, not just a product of 2026. I'm a product of now. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 And I not only need a pastor for the supernatural, but I need a pastor for the natural. Huh? Hallelujah. Someone to help guide me and direct me about life, because I can get off course. Somebody would say, hey, look, Dale, are you sure about this? I feel glory to God. I know I've been talking about the natural, but I feel the supernatural right now. I feel it coming on us. Hallelujah. Ray, God is merging the natural with the supernatural now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Is the supernatural more important than the natural? No. You can't look at me and say, well, he's a preacher. I'm a carpet layer. He's got to be more important than me. And the answer is no. No. We have a problem in the church where certain people appear to be more spiritual than other people, or they operate in the supernatural more, and we have a tendency to give them more attention or more respect or honor. Why? We are products of the natural and the supernatural. I know I'm pouring it all out on you now, but I want you to get it. When you leave here, get it.